بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم او من کان میتا فاحییناه وجعلنا له نورا یمشی به فی الناس کمن مثلو فی الظلمات لیس بخارج منها صدق اللہ العظیم اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی in this آیت poses a question. That person who was dead and we gave him life and we made for him nur, light, that is guidance. So he was dead, meaning he didn't have iman. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ We gave him life, we gave him iman, and we gave him nur, hidayat, guidance, to guide him along. In other words, now he has brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is studying the sirat al-mustaqim. He has given up all his evil practices, all the incorrect beliefs he had about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shirk, the kufr. And now he is moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is leading a righteous and pious life. And he is got this nur in his heart and walking amongst the people, spreading this nur. Can such a person be equivalent to that person who is in zulumat, in darknesses? He's got darkness of kufr, shirk, vice, evil, ma'asiyat. Such darknesses that envelops him. Laysa bi khariji minha. He's unable to come out from there. He's caught, he's entrapped. Can the both be equal? One who has got the celestial light, this nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's got hidayat. Can he be equal to that person who's got no hidayat? Obviously the answer is no. So these were sahaba ikiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that they lived a time of jahalat, that they believed in idols. They believed in the sun, the moon as gods, and stars, some worship the angels. But the moment Allah gave them hidayat and Allah gave them the nur, then they started moving in sirat al-mustaqim. And therefore, they cannot be equal to those mushrikeen of Makkah or the mushrikeen of the world who live a life full of filth, vice, evil, kufr, disbelief. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain had this nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we find in their lives such beautiful examples, such beautiful character, such tawadu, humility, sabr, shukr, qanaat, ilm, zuhud, taqwa, wara. They were making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manner in which they dealt with people, the manner in which they spoke. Yes, they made errors, they made mistakes, they were human beings. But immediately after being rebuked or reproached by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the sahabi immediately rectifying the wrong he had done. Inshallah, today we will discuss the sahabi Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu wa ta'ala. There were many Uthmans. One is Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll be discussing today, inshallah, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala. Perhaps we have not heard of him before. But another very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was from the leaders of the Muhajireen. And what is amazing about him, or is interesting about him, he was amongst those sahaba who passed away during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing their janazah salat. Imagine Rasulullah performing janazah salat. His son's name was Sa'ib, therefore he was known as Abu Sa'ib. His name was Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala. And he was the first of the Muhajireen, or the first according to some historians, of the Sahaba to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. First Sahabi, either from the Muhajirin or from both, from the Sahaba in general, to be buried in Jannatul Baqi was Uthman bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And he was among those Sahaba who accepted Islam in the very beginning period of Islam. Right in the beginning he accepted Islam. According to some narration, some historical or some kitab, it is mentioned that he was the 14th person to accept Islam. He had accepted Islam before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into Dar Arqam. Now that's a long story. Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beginning, because they could not practice on deen, they couldn't read salat openly, so they would read in Dar Arqam, Arqam radiallahu anhu's house, and he would impart deen to them at the house of Arqam radiallahu anhu. So the Sahabi Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, he's a leader of the Muhajirin. He's the first person to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. His son's name is Sa'ib. He's one of the forerunners of Islam. We know that Muslims were persecuted in Makkah, and therefore he was given permission with the other Sahaba, a handful of them, to make hijrah to Abyssinia, to Habasha. And they were practicing the deen there. When there was a false rumor that reached them that now the mushrikeen of Makkah have embraced Islam, and they also are making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these muhajirin who went to Abyssinia, they come to Makkah, but to find that everything is just a rumor, and the Muslims in fact are being persecuted even more than before. So some of them returned to Abyssinia, others remained behind on the amnesty of some relative they had. So he had the amnesty of Walid bin Mughira, we'll discuss that inshallah. Nevertheless, we find that he was amongst those people, even though before embracing Islam, he lived amongst the pagan Arabs, and those Arabs who were in Makkah, indulging in various evil practices, drinking wine, etc. He was amongst those very few who abstained from drinking wine even that time. And he would say, لا أشرب شيئا يذهب به or يذهب عقلي. I won't drink such a thing that will take away my mind. So he used to abstain from wine even then. When he had embraced Islam, we find he is amongst those Sahaba. Of course, every Sahabi had made ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some would exalt the other. He was amongst those who would make a lot of ibadah. To make us understand this, you see, when he was in Makkah, and Walid bin Mughira had given him amnesty and protection. Walid bin Mughira was enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a mushrik. But he had given this Uthman bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu protection and amnesty. And when they gave the word, even though they were disbelievers, they kept to their word. Uthman bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu for a couple of days living a very comfortable life, but then he could see his own Muslim brothers being persecuted. He goes in the morning and he sees a Sahabi being beaten up and persecuted because that particular Sahabi had no amnesty or protection. After some time he says, no, this is not right. How can I be living in comfort with my fellow Sahabi, he is being beaten up like this? So he goes to Walid bin Mughira, he says, I don't need your amnesty. He says, why? He said, no, I only want the amnesty and protection of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, if that's the case, then why don't you go in front of all the others, go to the haram, and openly declare that now you have renounced or rejected my amnesty, just like how I gave you protection in front of all the other leaders of the Quraysh. So he goes to the haram, and the other mushrikeen were sitting there, and openly he declares, he says, that now I give back the amnesty of Walid bin Mughira. There were some mushrikeen sitting there. There was a person by the name of Labid. Now, Labid was a great poet, and later on he accepted Islam. So he was singing a few couplets there, and Uthman bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was sitting. What are these couplets? Ala كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلُ. Everything besides Allah is null and void, batil. Even these mushrikeen will say poems, poetry like that. The mushrikeen, they believed in Allah. They knew that Allah is the creator, but together with Allah, they associated partners to them. What does it mean a mushrik? Mushrik means, in Arabic, ashraka means to join something. In Arabic, we say sharik means a partner. Sharik in a business. Mushrik, one who has associated a partner to Allah. He believes in Allah and some other god or many gods. Because the Quran says, you ask them, who created the sky? They will say Allah. لا يقولن Allah. But after believing in that also, they would still say, no, there are other gods. There is a god for the rain, god for the sun, moon, etc. So Allah, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَا خَلَى اللَّهَ بَاطِلُ. Everything besides Allah is null and void. No problem with that poem. Second, وَكُلُّ النَّعِيمِ لَا مَحَالَةَ زَائِلٌ. Every bounty, every ni'mat is definitely going to be destroyed. Uthman bin Mith'un radiallahu anhu objected to this. The first one he said, صَدَقْتَ, what you saying is right. For this one he said, كَذَبْتَ, you are lying. He said, what do you mean I'm lying? He said, the na'im of Jannah will never be destroyed. It is forever. So Labid looks at him, he says, ask the other people, who is this guy? What is he saying? He is objecting to my poetry and nobody is doing anything to him. So one of the mushrikeen then remarked, he said, well, this guy here, he has rejected the faith of our forefathers. He has accepted a religion. And he's amongst the foolish and weak and downtrodden people. Don't bother about him. Uthman bin Mith'un radiallahu anhu said, you are calling me amongst the foolish people who have embraced this great deen of Islam? So then they both began to argue. A fight ensued. And this person then begins to beat Uthman bin Mith'un radiallahu anhu so terribly that he gives him one blow and his entire eye becomes blue. Walid bin Mughira, the one who had given amnesty, is not sitting far away, so he comes running, he says, see, I told you, if you were in my protection, and you were safe, then just as your other eye is safe, then this eye which is hurt would have been saved. But because you gave up my protection, your right eye or your left eye, whichever eye he had was struck, is now suffering pain, it would have been safe and sound, like the other eye, had you not given up my amnesty. Uthman bin Mith'un radiallahu anhu, the level of this iman of sahaba was not like ours. He says, you know what? This other eye, which is sahiha, which hasn't been hit, lafaqira, it actually is in need of the hiding that this eye has got for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the path of Allah. In other words, this eye which was underwent this pain in the path of Allah, the other eye has been deprived of this pain and suffering in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After some time, you know, sahaba make hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. The moment Uthman bin Mith'un radiallahu anhu goes to Madinah Munawwara, the ulama write, they say that he gained complete freedom now to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something he was pining for. And now he made so much of ibadat that his wife Khawla bintu Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anha, one day she comes to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha sees in a very disheveled condition. He says, Khawla, what's the matter? Are you okay? Everything alright at home? She says, well, you know, my husband, يَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَيَصُومُ النَّهَارِ. Whole day, he is keeping fast, entire night, in ibadat. She goes away. Rasulullah comes home. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu tells him, you know, Khawla came, and she's complaining about her husband. And she says, the whole day, he's only making ibadat, or keeping roza, and the entire night in ibadat, he's got no real time for her. Nabiya Kareem calls the sahabi. Uthman, Am I not a good example for you? This is moderation in Islam, balance in deen. Am I not a good example for you? Inni akhshaakum lillah. I have more fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you have. I have more taqwa. But look at my life. I keep roza, I don't keep roza, I read tahajjud, I sleep also. There's a balance. But the point I want to make, that look at the Sahabi Uthman bin Mat'un radiallahu ta'ala, waiting for the chance to engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After some time, there are many other incidents in between, but after some time, he becomes very sick and he passes away. One of the ladies in whose home he had passed on, she says, Rahmatullahi alayka, Abba Sahib, may Allah Ta'ala's mercy be upon you. I bear witness, shahadati alayk, I bear witness that Allah is definitely going to honor you now. Rasulullah SAW was there. He says, what did you say? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. What guarantee you have, or what knowledge do you have, that Allah is definitely going to honor him? So she's surprised. She says, may my parents be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah. If Uthman is not honored, I mean, looking at the life he led in this world, if he's not going to be honored, then who is going to be honored? Who can be honored then? Nabi Kareem explains to her. He says, maut has come to the Sahabi, and what we know of him is khair. So, arju lahu al khair. I hope good for him. In other words, we have great hopes that Allah will honor him. But with certainty, nobody can say. And then Rasulullah tells her, wama adri ma yuf'alu bi. I don't even know what's going to be my condition. Now this is his humility. In one hadith also says that no person enters Jannah just on account of his own deeds. Of course we have to bring iman and do good deeds. But ultimate entry into Jannah is only the kindness and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can go on the day of Qiyamah and show a so-called visa to Jannah. I did so much of ibadat, so I deserve entry into Jannah. If a person gets visa to for some country, and he goes to the airport there, Allah protect us. But if he goes, everything is above board, and the immigration officer turns him down, he says, no, no, no. So he can say, but I got a visa from your embassy. Immigration officer says, sorry, no entry, go back home, you are deported. So if Allah wishes, he can give you no entry to Jannah. But we make dua, Allah gives us entry. Allah is too kind. We have hopes. But the point is, we cannot say with certainty that person is guaranteed Jannat, except for those people whom Allah has guaranteed Jannat. Yes, we say, Ahtasib. I have great hopes. It is our good thoughts that person led such a pious and righteous life. Inshallah, he will be enjoying the beauties of Jannat and enjoying the palaces of Jannat. In any case, this woman, this lady of this family, she was very perturbed. I mean, look here, Uthman bin Mat'un, radiallahu, such a great person. And she was desirous of just to get some type of indication that he is going to get some honor in the year hereafter. So she sleeps one night and she sees a dream. And she sees that a river or a spring is flowing from Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala, Uthman bin Mat'un. She goes to Rasulullah and narrates the dream. He says, this is the amal, the good deeds of Uthman bin Mat'un radiallahu ta'ala. That gave us some type of solace, some type of satisfaction. Then when he passed on, Nabiya Kareem some came forward. Qabbalahu, Nabiya Kareem some kissed him. Imagine, Nabiya Kareem some kissed Uthman bin Mat'un radiallahu ta'ala. And then the teardrops came down, flowed from the eyes of Rasulullah SAW onto the cheeks of Uthman bin Mat'un radiallahu ta'ala. As his janazah was going past, Rasulullah then said, ذَهَبَتْ وَلَمْ تَلَبَّسْ مِنْهَا بِشَيْءٍ. If this janazah has gone, has left this world, And Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala was not tainted by the dunya. In other words, he was not affected by anything of the dunya. His whole focus was the akhirat. Whole focus was the akhirat. Now imagine, when Rasulullah is saying such a thing, then this indeed is honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala was buried, I said he was the first of the Muhajirin, or first from the Sahaba, to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. When he was buried, Rasulullah asked Sahabi who was burying him, bring a rock and place it there, a stone, so that I may know this is a qabr of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala, so that if any close relative of mine passes away, I will bury that close relative in the same qabr of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala. Now this shows his maqam already. Now this sahabi tries to lift the rock. He is unable to lift the rock. They say Rasul goes forward. Then he lifts the rock up himself. Sahaba say they could see the whiteness of the forearm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he lifted this rock and he placed it at the qabr of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala. Not long after this, look at the bashara, look at the glad tidings that Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala, those who abandon the dunya, the pleasures of the dunya, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, the focus is akhirat. Allah gives them not honor only in akhirat, Allah honors them in the dunya also. Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was battle of Badr, Uthman radiallahu anha, her husband, Uthman bin Affan, was also in Badr. Then the news came that Ruqayya is very ill. So Rasulullah sends his son-in-law Uthman, go, look after your wife. Yeah, look at the lesson, look at the Sharia. Look after my daughter Ruqayya. He goes. As Badr finishes, Nabi Kareem sends a sahabi to give the people of Medina glad tidings that we are victorious. He just reaches Medina and he says, I see Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala just dusting his hands after the janazah of his wife Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given instructions that Ruqayya must be buried in the same qabr of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala. And he had said that join our salaf, the salaf as-salih, you know, we see pious predecessors, one who has gone ahead before us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that go and join your pious predecessor Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala. So she is also buried in the same qabr of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala. Allah ta'ala knows best. May Allah ta'ala make us like Sahaba ikram. May Allah ta'ala give us that honor that He gave Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Of course, they exulted as far as ibadat was concerned, as far as iman was concerned, as far as taqwa was concerned. In every aspect of deen, they were real shining stars. But we can try a little effort, at least try and resemble Sahaba ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept us, inshaAllah. You know, the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, and of course I mentioned this, not just tafsir, it's a lesson that we need to learn from the various ayat. And the whole purpose is to cleanse and purify our hearts, to rekindle our iman, to gain the close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become Allah's real friend, which is not impossible. It is not impossible. Many people are asking this question, can I become the friend of Allah? Can I gain taqwa? Can I reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I do it? It's not something far-fetched. It is something right there, very close to us. It's a matter of effort from our side, matter of mujahada that we have to make. It's a question of mujahada. It's a question of moving on the right path. We will make mistakes. We will falter. We will stumble. But we will turn up again, cleanse ourselves, turn again to Allah. This rujoo ila Allah is not just one day. It happens every single day of our life. All the time, turning to Allah. And all the time we should have that yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. any matter that comes upon us, first thing, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see in the ayah today also. We were mentioning last week that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was now put into prison, and these two people were also in prison with him. He gives him the interpretation of the dream, and he tells one of them, the one who was saved, that just mention my name by the king. But it so happened, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. When this person came out, he was so excited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan then made him forget mentioning Yusuf alayhi salatu salam to the king. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. And as a result of that, Yusuf alayhi salatu salam remained in the prison for a few more years. Now many ulama have written regarding this. In Qurtubi it is mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu salam comes to Yusuf alayhi salatu salam while he is in this prison. And Jibreel alayhi salatu salam asks him a question. Oh Yusuf, man khallasaka min al-qatl ala aydi ikhwatik? When your brothers threw you into the well, they wanted to kill you, who saved you? He said, Allah. Man akhradaka min al-jub? Who removed you from the well then? He said, Allah. Who protected you when Zulaykha was trying to seduce you? He said, Allah. When the remaining of the woman, they also tried to seduce you, who protected you then? He said, Allah. He said, each time it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helped you, protected you, saved you. فَكَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ رَبَّكَ فَلَمْ تَسْأَلْهُ وَوَثِقْتَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. Now, when you were in jail, you were in prison, why then did you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove you from the prison? Why did you have to mention to this person who was coming out, the cupbearer of the king, that please mention my name to the king, remind him so that he may remove me from the prison? You should have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tarbiyat. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam understand very, very, very carefully. And understand very well. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are ma'soom. They are sinless. A few slips that they make is not regarded as sin. But sometimes those few errors or mistakes, although outwardly there is nothing wrong in what they have done. For example, in this case, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam used a means which is perfectly permissible. But you know somebody got a context somewhere, you'll ask him, but you know somebody well, why don't you put a word for me? There's nothing wrong in that. He still had full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even that also in the eyes of Allah, Allah does not want for Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked from Bani Israel, man a'lamun nas, who's the most knowledgeable of people, who's got the most knowledge? So he said, Ana, Musa. And that was true also. From all the people of Bani Israel, he had the most knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to answer on that occasion that the most knowledge is only with Allah. Therefore Allah ta'ala sent Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam in the whole story. So here also, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he was asked three questions by the people of Makkah or the Yahud, so he forgot to say, Insha'Allah. He said, I'll give you the answer tomorrow. Because he forgot to say, Insha'Allah. If Allah was to give you the answer, Allah did not send down wahi until after a couple of days. And then Allah Ta'ala tells Rasulullah SAW, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا إِيَّشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So this is what you call tarbiyat. Nurturing of even Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam. Allah wanted Yusuf alayhi salatu salam to ask him, and not even mention to anybody else to mention his name to the king. Therefore, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. He remained in the prison for a couple of years. According to some scholars, Ayyub alayhi salatu salam was ill and sick for 7 years. Yusuf alayhi salatu salam remained in the prison also for 7 years. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the king having a dream. وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف. Now the king, he sees a dream, a very strange dream.
He sees there are seven lean, thin cows eating seven fat cows.
Normally you see fat cows eating up the lean cows. Here he's seeing the opposite.
وَسَبْعَ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرُ أُخْرَ يَابِسَاتٍ.
He sees seven sunbulat, corn, and he sees seven dry ones, seven green fresh ones, and seven dry.
So immediately, he asks his ministers, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَفْتُونِي فِي رُؤْيَايَ إِن كُنْتُمْ لِلرُؤْيَا تَعْبُرُونَ.
That give me an interpretation, if you are able to give an interpretation.
So what do they say?
They know nothing, all his ministers around him. And this is the general case. King Bichara knows nothing also, he doesn't have knowledge. And he's so dependent on all his people around him. Whatever they direct him, whatever advice they give him, then he just listens to them. And they know nothing about interpretation of dreams.
They say, قالوا, what do they say?
أضغاث أحلام.
This is just some things that has come, it's just your imagination. Thoughts that are flowing in your mind.
Yes, this, as some scholars have mentioned, a medley of dreams.
Things are just mixed up.
We have a stack of hay or grass. We have dry and wet ones. It's a mixture.
So this is your mind, your thoughts all mixed up. It's all muddled up.
أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ
وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمٍ.
Any case, we don't know also. They were honest. We don't know how to interpret dreams.
But the king was very worried. This dream is very, very strange. There must be something about it.
وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا. Remember, two of them were also in prison with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. One was the baker, the other one was the cupbearer. The cupbearer was saved. So when he goes to the king and he had forgotten Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam completely, now when the dream story comes about, he remembers, oh, I know of Yusuf in the prison. I had a dream. He interpreted the dream. I saw the dream was correct. So he tells the king,
وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا وَذَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّهِ.
And who remembered after a long time. The word ummah in this particular verse means after, بَعْدَ مُدَّةٍ طَوِيلًا, after a long time.
He said, أَنَا أُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِي.
I will give you the interpretation of the dream.
فَأَرْسِلُونَ.
Just send me. In other words, I know somebody who can interpret the dream. I need to get there. Oh king, allow me, give me permission to go. There is a person by the name of Yusuf. He's in the prison.
Immediately when he goes, the Quran doesn't mention other details. Quran Sharif says, Yusuf ayyuha siddiq.
This person addresses Yusuf alayhi salam, ayyuha siddiq. Oh honest, truthful one.
Why did he say truthful one? Because he found the interpretation what Yusuf alayhi salam gave him was absolutely true. And he knew the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the prison.
He says, aftina, give us an interpretation. Fi sab'i baqaratin simani ya'kuluhunna sab'u ijaf wa sab'i sumbulatin khudri wa ukhra yabisat.
And he gives it the whole dream.
Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what you call tolerance, patience, akhlaq.
He could have reprimanded this person.
I asked you a small favor.
You don't even mention my name to the king. Years have passed on. You don't even bother about me. Now you're asking me for something?
No, that's not what he did.
So this person who came, asked the interpretation on behalf of the king, and he said, لَعَلِّي أَرْجِعُ إِلَى النَّاسِ لَحَلَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ.
Yusuf, you know what? Let me go to the people. Let me go back. Give me the interpretation. I'll go back and mention to the king and the people around him the interpretation. So that they may know. They may know your honesty. They may know your akhlaq, they may know your position, your maqam.
Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam then gives him the interpretation. He says, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا.
He understands the dream. He does not only give an interpretation, but he gives a solution also. And also with the solution, he gives some glad tidings. He says, تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا. What you must do for 7 years, with perseverance, you need to cultivate the crops.
فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ. Whatever you harvest,
فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ.
Then leave all what you harvested, all the crops, you leave them in the ear of the crop. illa qalila mimma ta'kulun, except some which you are going to eat. So you're going to use some of that food, the crops that you're going to harvest for your eating, and the remaining you leave in the ear of the corn or the crops, so that they do not become decayed by those insects, and they may be stored and preserved. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ. He says, after 7 years, and you have harvested the crops, then you're going to get 7 years of drought, and very difficult, severe days. Now during those severe days of hardship and drought, يَأْكُلَّ مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنْ, then you will eat what you had stocked up, and what you kept in the ears of the corn, or the crop. So what you had preserved, you are going to eat some now. The remaining you will eat then in the days of hardship. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تُحْسِنُونَ, except a little which you're going to use as seed again and you're going to plant again. So he's showing them a tadbir. First of all, he sees interpretation, he sees the dream. Interpretation is that there's going to be drought, 7 lean cows eating 7 fat cows. So he tells them, what you do is you harvest the crops, don't eat up everything, leave for the remaining years, and then some you will put back as seed. Then he says, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ. Now all these extra things is not only from the dream interpretation, this is from wahi. Via wahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that this is also going to occur. What? That then there'll be abundant rain. There'll be rainfall, in which after rainfall you're going to get a lot of crops, you're going to get grapes, you're going to get a lot of fruit, and you get plentiful. So ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسُ وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُؤْتُونِي بِهِ. So this person goes to the king and he tells him, this is the interpretation, this is what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is suggesting, this is the plan, and this is the glad tidings he gives. So the king hears this, he realizes this. This dream, this interpretation is 100% correct. He says, bring this person to me. I need to hear it directly from his own mouth. I need to hear him giving the interpretation myself. So this person goes back. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ. Oh, either this person or one of the messengers of the king goes to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. See, the king is calling you. Yusuf alayhi salatu refuses to go. اِرَجِئْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Go back to your king. Go back to your master. فَاسْأَلْهُ, and ask him, مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِي قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. Ask him, what happened about, once upon a time, those women who had cut their fingers because they were so caught up by the beauty of one person. Has he forgotten that matter? Did he investigate the matter? Has he forgotten that one person was innocent and tuhmat was placed upon him, and then he was imprisoned? Just go ask him, what happened about those women? What happened about that matter? He didn't see what happened about Zulaikha. He said, the entire group of women. So he refused to come out. Rasulullah, out of his humility, he says, when this caller of the king, if he had to come and I was in prison, I would have immediately responded, لَأَجَبْتُ الدَّاعِي, and I would have gone immediately. He says, look at the hilm, the tolerance, the patience of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But what is the hikmat in this? If Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had to come out immediately, then that matter would have still remained. And people would have still thought that he was the one who seduced the minister's wife. He wanted to clarify that matter. He wanted to prove his innocence. So the king then summons those women. And then Allah says, Inna Rabbi bi kaydihinna alim. This is what Yusuf says, that my Allah, he knows very well, they plan, they plot, they ploys. The king calls his woman, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ. Tell me, what's the matter? What is the truth? إِذْ رَاوَتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. When you woman try to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam over himself, now tell me, was he innocent or not? Did he try to seduce you people, or did you try to seduce him? All of them now realize, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Allah forbid, Yusuf was an innocent person. He was absolutely chaste. And he had no evil intentions whatsoever. قالت امرأة العزيز. Now امرأة العزيز, the minister's wife, she stands up. And now, she's the first time openly she says, الآن حشحش الحق. Now the truth has become clear, it is evident. أنا راودته عن نفسي. It was I tried to seduce him over himself. وإنه لمن الصادقين. And he was from the faithful ones. He was from the honest ones. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam then says that all this, why did he do? Why did he send this messenger back to the king to clarify matters? ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ So that the king knows, أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ Oh, the minister realizes, he knows very well that I was not disloyal to him in his absence. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gives success to the plot of those who are treacherous, those who are disloyal. After saying this, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam immediately mentions a very beautiful statement which Allah ta'ala mentions now in the beginning of the 13th para. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي That I do not regard and deem myself to be very, very pure. Allah mentions in the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ Don't regard yourself to be very pious. And you say, me, my heart is clean from pride. My heart is clean from jealousy. I've got no filth in my heart. I'm a very pious person. Only Allah knows. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى With who is pious, who is righteous. So, we all have to make tazkiyah of our hearts. But nobody can claim that I have passed all these marahil. And I have passed all these stations. And now I am the most pious person in the world. No. Mentioned to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Passing away. Such a great Imam. Master in fiqh, master in hadith. People are giving, making talqeen. Say kalima. He's saying la, la, la. He's saying, when you bring, say kalima, you're saying la. He says, no. I'm saying la to shaitan. Even at this moment, shaitan is coming and telling me, oh Ahmad. You're so great. You passed. You passed the test in this world. You got your jannat. You got your akhirat. You made it. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, no shaitan. No, not as yet. Not as yet. Not as yet. Until I don't breathe my last. So, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ So, here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam wants to show that we should have humility. And no person should have pride. No person should feel that his heart is very pure and clean. Why? إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ We mentioned previously also that this nafs, we're talking about nafs here, we're talking about the evil nafs, the egos, the desires we have, the passions. There are three stages of nafs. First is ammara. One who commands a lot, incites you, prods you, entices you, commands you with evil, prompts you with evil. Do this haram, go that way. When we say nafs and shaitan, we're talking about this nafs. That pulls you away, it takes you away, distracts you, makes you ghafil of Allah. There are two things that brings ruin to a person. The mashayikh say, one is ghaflat. And the other is shahwat. Ghaflat where a person becomes oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely neglectful, negligent. He forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one is shahwat, desires. You get shahwat of anger also. Shahwat of hasad also. Shahwat for haram woman also. So these are the two things that lead to the destruction of a person. And therefore he has to gather his army. Which army we talking about? The army that Allah has provided him. Now he has got his eyes, his ears, and he's got limbs. He has to be very strong. And what is the army? And that is the himmat, the courage. He must have himmat to overpower his nafs, Nafs is going to prompt him, command him, do evil. But now he needs to subdue his nafs. And how can he subdue his nafs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. This nafs commands evil. Commands you evil all the time. A lot. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Except those people who have got the rahmat of my Allah. In other words, a person can only stay away from evil. A person can only subdue his nafs when he has got with him the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have the mercy of Allah, you cannot subdue your nafs. So now the question arises, how do I then gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How does a person gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Take a simple example of a child, disobedient to the parent. Now he wants something from the parent. He wants some chocolate or whatever it is. What does the child do? He goes, he repents, oh my father, my mother, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. I made an error. I won't do it again. I promise I won't do it again. Child begins to cry, even if it's crocodile tears, whatever it is. Please show the mother, hold the mother's hand, hold the feet. Finally, the mother has mercy. And the mother then gives this person whatever, or the child whatever it wants. We need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The word hawla means to turn away. There is no turning away from masiyat, from sin, from disobedience, illa billah, except with Allah's assistance. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, if Allah did not assist him, then he would not have been able to move away from Zulaykha. He mentions himself. Then I would have moved towards her. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection came. Allah's mercy came. Why did Allah's mercy come? Because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam plucked that courage. He had that himmat not to give in to the call of Zulaykha. He began to fight. He made this mujahada on his nafs. And then he used all that which was within his power. So he ran towards the door, which we did this previously. He knew it was locked. Whatever was within his ability, he did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw his sincerity. And what did he say? Ma'az Allah, I seek my Allah's protection. Child needs the parent. So turns to the parent. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi was once feeling very dejected, low. And he was feeling, he had lost all hope. He felt that he was trying so hard to gain Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, to gain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, to gain that friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he tried, but he couldn't get it there. Now he was searching for an answer. So he was wandering the streets and gullies of his town. When he sees that an incident, an episode of a mother who had become very angry with the little child, so she spanks the child and throws him out of the house and she shuts the door. This little child begins to cry, he goes wandering the gullies of the town and he finally realizes nowhere else I can go. Comes back to the door and he sits at the doorstep and he cries and knocks on the door. And he cries for the mother. After some time, the mother peeps on the peephole. She is a little child there, crying. What does she do? She opens the door. Now she grabs the little child. A few hours ago, she spanked that child. Now she begins to cuddle him. She caresses him. She kisses him. She clings onto him. She wipes off the same tears off his face. And she tells him sorry now. The door of the mother is a small door. The door of Allah is very vast, very wide. Zunnun Misri looked at this, he said, wajadtu qalbi. Now I've got my answer. I have to keep on turning to my Allah. I have to show my weakness. I have to show my humility. I have to turn to Allah all the time. La hawla. There is no turning away from disobedience except with Allah's assistance. So when a person turns to Allah, oh Allah, you help me, Allah will most definitely help the person. No matter what guna it may be. He may be caught up in the rave club. He may be on that massage parlor, sitting on that massaging bed, and that woman is about to massage him. Or he's about to commit zina. There's so many incidents in kitab, in hadith, and with so many people. The person was almost committing zina. And suddenly he made ruju ila Allah. From ghaflat, suddenly now he turned to his Allah. And then he began to shudder and shake. He says, I fear Allah. And he moves off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives such a person. Not only forgives such a person, Allah then elevates his position. And Allah puts on him the crown of wilayat then. He becomes the wali of Allah. So there's no turning away from sin except with Allah's mercy. So we need to gain Allah's mercy. By making dua, istighfar in abundance, making tawbah all the time. All the time turning to Allah. That's what you call in Arabic, inabat. Inabat. When a person turns to Allah, he submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realizes only Allah who can assist me, only Allah can forgive me. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. This is what Allah wants from us. So a lot of tawbah, istighfar, then Allah's mercy comes. Then we got to show Allah that we are making those attempts. We are taking those few steps. I mentioned to the brothers last night, we take one step towards Allah. We walk towards Allah, Allah comes running towards us. You move only one hand span towards Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves two hand spans towards you. Just a few baby steps we will take. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him that is sufficient proof that now you are moving towards him. Even for ibadat, wala quwwata illa billah. Person doesn't have the strength, the taqat of doing ita'at of Allah and obeying Allah except with Allah's fadl and kindness upon him. So this is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Rasulullah taught us a dua, Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me bitarkil ma'asi, with abandoning sin. In other words, to abandon sin, one needs the mercy of Allah. A person who does not pluck up that courage, is not interested in taking those few steps. He just sits back, he's complacent, he's relaxed. And he expects Allah to do all the work for him. That is not the general pattern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from us. Allah wants us to stand up, even though we might fall after a few steps, and stand up again. But that is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us here, what Allah Ta'ala mentions to us, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except that person whom Allah Ta'ala has raham and mercy for. Such a person then, Allah Ta'ala makes tazkiyah of his heart. Allah cleanses his heart. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. So I was mentioning, we have nafsi ammara. And the moment you now have that himmat and courage, now you begin to reproach yourself. Now that nafs is no more ammara commanding you and inciting you, prompting you with evil. Now it rebukes you if you do evil. Lawama from malamat. It scolds you when you do evil. And when a person continues in this way now, the moment he goes off, his nafs rebukes him, scolds him, that now you're going off. And now he comes back online. When he comes back online and he perseveres in this way, then he reaches what you call al-nafsul mutma'innah. What does it mean mutma'innah? He is relaxed, he is calm, he is at peace. This is that maqam a person gets after so much of mujada he makes on himself. And now he is like the rider who's riding that horse. The horse is his nafs. And now he's got full control of his nafs. How? Because he is making continuous mujahada. He hasn't finished his mujahada. Still making that mujahada. Now he knows the tricks of his nafs. He knows when his nafs is playing games with him. He knows when his nafs is enticing him. And he does not fall for the traps of his nafs. Now he's got Allah's divine, Allah's special madad upon him. And such a person then passes away in this condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with such a person. May Allah ta'ala give all of us a nafs al-mutma'inna. The king then says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصُ لِنَفْسِي. Bring him to me. Of course, then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the person goes, and then the king realizes that he's innocent, and his innocence is declared. Now the king says, bring him to me, I want to make him special for myself. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. When the king spoke to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, or when Yusuf alayhi salam spoke to the king, then the king tells him that now you have got a very special position, very high, lofty place by me. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knew the condition of the people in Egypt. He knew the wrongs that they were indulging in. He knew that they were cheating when it came to transactions. He knew they were not just. Therefore he makes a request. What does he say? قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. He says, make me in charge of the treasures of Egypt. I want to be the minister of finance. Rasulullah ﷺ and Shariat has taught us that don't ask for position. Don't ask for imarat. Don't ask to become Amir. Don't ask for any position. If you ask for something, and then you are given that position, then Allah will not assist you in that work. Allah expects you to be humble. Yes, if it is conferred upon you, that's another matter. In this case, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi of Allah, is asking for a position. Now this asking, this request that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam made, is not like how we are told not to ask for a position. When we say don't ask for a position, it's now you desiring a position so you may be higher and superior to people. Here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for a position, and even in our case also, you are allowed to ask for a position when you know that you are 100% the best person who will fulfill this work. And the others, anybody else is given this task and this position, then there will be a lot of chaos, there will be a lot of problems, there will be more harm and nuqsan instead of benefit and nafa. Therefore, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, under normal circumstances, he would have not asked for a position. Make me the minister of finance. He asked so that he could deal with justice and there won't be any oppression taking place there. This reminds me of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He says, I never ever desired imarat, leadership, becoming Amir, except only on one occasion. Now look at the understanding. He says, when Khaybar was taking place and we could not conquer the forts of the Jews, few days went by, few people had tried, they were made Amir by Rasulullah ﷺ, they were not successful. Then one day Rasulullah ﷺ called the Sahaba, he says, tomorrow I will give the flag to that person, يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. I will make tomorrow the Amir and give him the flag, which person? Who loves Allah and his Rasul, and Allah and his Rasul love him also. Each Sahabi that night desired that he must be given the position the next day. Not for any dunya purpose. Our desire for a position is for a dunya maqsad. They wanted that position. Sayyidina Umar says himself that I never desired imarat in my life beside that particular day. Why? What a glad tiding. Allah and his Rasul love such a person. The next day, Nabi Kareem called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, gave him the flag. But in any case, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. I am honest. I have got knowledge of how to deal with the finances of the people. These are two qualities a person requires. He must be honest, trustworthy, and he must have knowledge also. So if you put in any position, you must be honest. You are in an institution, whether it's a madrasa, masjid, or a trustee, or of any place. You have got the finances. Now you have to be absolutely careful. Our mashayikh, the teachers, somebody gives them an envelope. If it is zakat, immediately write the zakat. And you and I should understand these things. We give somebody zakat money, we don't write anything there. There's an etiquette, there's an adab, there's a manner. We just take out money like this, crumble in our hands, make as though nobody must see, Malana, this is for you, a zakat money, a distribution. This is not the correct adab. As though we're doing the Malana a favor. We want our zakat to be distributed, there's a manner of doing things. Put it in an envelope. Write your name, write what it is for. It is zakat, what is lillah, for some well, some madrasa, some masjid, what is supposed to be for this. Whatever it is. And what is the hikmat? See, suppose somebody gives somebody some money. He did not write there what it was for. He put it in his pocket. He passes away. What happens to that money? It was supposed to be zakat money. Now what happens? The inheritors get it as miras. Oh, he forgets. So many people gave him monies. So all these things, a person has to be very careful. Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah has mentioned that each item in your house, you must have a list. This belongs to me, this belongs to my wife. How often it has happened, a person passed away. Now there's so many things in the house, or some money is found, and we don't know who it belongs to. The husband passed away, the wife said, oh, everything was given to me. If the wife passed away, the husband say, that car, I didn't give it to the wife. That car was still mine. Whereas people said, no, in the lifetime, he had given away to the wife. Nothing is written. Everything has to be written. But a person has to be Amin. And has to have the knowledge. So that he does not deal with ignorance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Yusuf, this is how we gave him, or we established him in the world. This is how we established him in Egypt. From the well, right till now, Minister of Finance. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. This is his kindness. He went through so many marahil, so many stages. And I mentioned right in the beginning, when we started the surah, I said the reason why we're doing Surah Yusuf is because so many people are emailing, so many people are saying, we feel so low, we feel so depressed, and somebody passed away, or I lost this in my business, or I lost that, and I'm feeling so low, and I'm feeling so dejected, and I just don't know what to do, which way to go. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel like this when the mushrikeen would not accept Islam, and when they would persecute the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed his entire surah to show him, to give him tasalli, consolation, strengthen him. That look at Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, the different stages he went through, from way to way, and what honor Allah ta'ala then gave him. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, we will continue next week, inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.